212-286-8686.
Gave us a rhema on heaven's language. And if there's anything you purpose to master in life, purpose to master the heavenly language. I'm not speaking in reference to your unknown tongue. That's wonderful. That's a gift from God. But we're talking about the pure language that God talked about in Zephaniah, that he said that he would give to his people. A language that is free from wavering or doubt. A language that is free of unbelief. A language that is free from criticism. Down through the years, if you have a favorite scripture, I would say that this was one that I would quote most in growing up in Christ. It was, I believe it's, what is it? I forget what it is. Anyway, it goes, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Ephesians 3:29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. You know, as human beings with our feet on the ground, there are situations that can tend to try to draw corrupt communication, you know, from the old man, you know, anger or resentment or haste or, but the word says, let no corrupt communication. The only communication that we're to let is that which is good and is used to edify. Doesn't mean that we don't correct, but, you know, we do these things in love, and we do it in the right spirit. Amen? Very important. We looked at heaven's language and how God interacted in the book of Genesis to thwart a diabolical plan to open a portal. They were endeavoring to build a tower under heaven, not literally brick and mortar, into outer space, but to a height where they could open a spirit portal and bring back in demonic powers. That's what the whole CERN project in Switzerland is about today. They label it scientific, but in essence, it's really demonic. All right, so God came down, and what he targeted was language to stop the work. He confounded their language. That's why, one reason why the tower is called Babel, because the language that was so understandable became Babel. They start babbling. No one understood, so everything came to a screeching halt. In Acts chapter 2, we find where the Lord, on the day of Pentecost, with the right purpose and out of obedience to his word, remember in Genesis 11, God told them to scatter and go fulfill the earth, but they decided to stay in Shinar. And so, against their will, God scattered them. In the book of Acts, God told them to go into one place and stay there and remain until they be endued with power from on high. He spoke to over 500, but only 120 actually showed up. But because of the unity of the 120, God came in, and he came in with language. All the nations of the earth were there. Read it if you haven't read it yourself. Read it. Because all the nations were gathered there in Jerusalem. You need to read certain parts of the scripture there in the New Testament, because there was a time where the 12, the whole known world, was ministered to by those 12 and the ones that they discipled. So we see what language created was territorial borders, and the language that the people spoke, had the power to establish dimensions. Okay? Say it with me. Language has the power to establish dimensions. We took a look at the word dimension. It means a physical property of length, breadth, height, thickness, depth, the extent, scope, or proportion of something. And we came to the conclusion that dimensions are established through language. I always think back of certain times that left such impressions and imprints on my mind growing up. You know, there are things that you can remember at a, you know, pull up real quickly that were real impressionable. You know, some of you remember Creature Features, right? You remember that? Tell y'all's age. Creature Features. And I remember me and my two brothers that were my particular age, the others were a little bit older than us, we would stay up late. You know, sometimes when Creature Features was on Friday nights, we'd be watching it, you know, on the black and white TV. That was before the color TVs, actually. And, you know, it'd be maybe a stormy night. But the spirit that Creature Features would, you know, now today we look at some of these movies back then, and it's like a Japanese movie, you know. I'm not criticizing their movie, you know, like Godzilla, you know, where you see the puppets and stuff. But back then it would scare us, you know, because the time, the night, and out of that, and what we would say to one another, what they'd be saying across the screen, it would create a dimension. Now, if somebody was to come in there and sneak up on us and say, boo, we'd have either been fighting or running. You see, language creates dimensions. You know, a question we need to ask ourselves sometimes is, what are we always talking about? I mean, really, what do we talk about? Do we talk about the sickness? I mean, doctors can tell you so much. Okay, got it. Because I'm not talking about it does not mean that I'm oblivious to it. I would rather talk about the healing. And I understand, you know, we've all been there where, you know, infirmity tries to get you down and to get you to start speaking its language and owning up to it. Well, understand, language creates dimensions. There's a part of the brain that controls speech, and that part of the brain sends energy. It has authority over the entire nervous system. The part of the brain that controls your speech affects the entire nervous system. Now, there are parts of the brain that don't affect the entire body, but the part from which your speech comes affects your entire body. We need to understand that so that you're not flippant with words. You don't just blurt out stuff that comes back to haunt you or that you regret all the time. Amen? All right, so let's establish that. Dimensions are established through language. And it's not just about words. It's about the right words. As we said in Zephaniah 3, verse 8 and 9, God said he's going to give his people a pure language. I had a chance to share with some pastors this afternoon that same dream that I share with you from time to time that I had, where the Lord said, I'm going to teach you this language. I didn't understand the language. You know, I kind of understand a little bit how Paul felt when he was taken up and he heard stuff. He said it wasn't lawful for him to utter what he was saying. He couldn't say anything about it. It's not that, you know, he could, but, you know, I don't dare say. No. When I heard these words, these angels were speaking, when I woke from that dream, I tried to remember, you know, something. But it's like my mind couldn't comprehend that. It wasn't in my mind. It was nothing I could grab to even think of a syllable to say. Amen. That I'd heard. I heard them talking. Amen. And they weren't speaking English, and they weren't speaking any foreign language here. They were speaking a heavenly language it escaped me. In other words, God didn't give me to remember or hold on to anything that they had said. But he said, I'm going to teach you these languages. In other words, I'm going to teach you the language of heaven. What does that mean? I'm going to teach you, and when I say you, I'm going to teach the church how to bring the dimension of heaven into the earth realm. We need to learn that. We need to know how that. It doesn't just happen by osmosis. You can go into some regions or territory where crime is really high. If you could trace it to the source, you'd find that demons are using people's mouths. Amen. Amen. How did the devil get in the first place? Eve. God hath not surely said. And she agreed. Okay? So, we understand dimensions are established through language. It's not just about words. It's about the right words. Because we want to establish the dimensions of the kingdom. And everything hinges upon the right words. Somebody say, well, I tried that and it didn't work. First of all, you need to stop trying it and start doing it. But sometimes people start talking about things and they don't talk about it long enough because they hit a little roadblock. And then I knew it. Well, you were defeated before you started. We had the other day we had a message, talk your way out. You got to talk your way out of some stuff. I mean, you got to stay on it. Either the word is right or it's all a lie. Amen. Ain't no in between. Either the word is truth. See, we have to stay the course until truth supersedes facts. A lot of facts get laid out in front of us. But if that's not in agreement with the truth, I'm not accepting that. I might have to deal with that for a while. I might have to suffer that for a while, but I'm going to stay on the truth. Because the truth is what sets you free from the limiting potential, the bondages of facts. When God gives you a vision, you know, that's why we fight in the sense, the fight of faith. We ain't fighting the devil. We fight to maintain our course in faith. Amen. Because God doesn't check with you in your checkbook when he gives you a vision. Let me hold on. Let me see if you got it in your checkbook. No, he's studying your checkbook. He'll give you the vision.
Thank you for listening. To order today's message or for more information about our church, contact us at 772-465-0036 or toll free at 1-877-TR-BANKS. Our service times are Sundays, 8:30 a.m. and 11 o'clock a.m. Join us in our midweek service, Wednesdays at 7:30 p.m. All services are live streamed.